Well, we come again to worship the Lord, and we're singing the hymn 736, hymn number 736. Sing to the Lord of harvest, sing songs of love and praise with joyful hearts and voices, your hallelujahs raise. The hymn 736, we'll stand and sing God's praise when we get some notes of music, please.
To
we're going to seek the Lord in a word of prayer. I want to ask the Lord to be with us tonight as God's servant brings the word and as our brother and sister sing in the gospel. And so let's unite in prayer and let's call upon the Lord tonight for his blessing. Our eternal and loving Father in heaven, in the worthy and precious name of thy dear Son, Lord Jesus Christ, we come into thy presence. We thank thee that there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We thank thee for the God-man. We rejoice in him who came to this world, eternal God taking flesh unto himself. We thank thee for the union there between God and man in the person of Jesus Christ. We thank thee that he continued to be God throughout his earthly pilgrimage. We thank thee that he died a death that we could never die, a death that was a death like none other, the death of deaths. We thank thee that he died an atoning death, a vicarious death, a death on our behalf, on the sinner's behalf. We thank thee for the substitute, O God, and all who would trust in him are the recipients of eternal and everlasting life. We come with grateful hearts at this time of the year, Thank you for another ingathering of harvest. Thy goodness towards a land that is undeserving of the least of thy mercies, to a people that have forsaken thee, who have gone after sin, who has legislated for it. And yet, dear God, thou hast shown us mercy. Thou art a God of mercy and a God of grace. And Lord, we cry that thou wilt show even mercy in this house tonight. Lord, to those who are undeserving. It was Jacob who said that he was undeserving of the least of thy mercies. Lord, we realize that we as sinners do not deserve thy goodness, do not deserve thy grace or salvation. And yet God, in his grace, steps in, intervenes, and rescues men and women from going down to the pit. We rejoice that a ransom has been found in the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, men and women can be delivered from going down to the pit. Thou hast found a ransom. And we rejoice, O God, in the Redeemer and in his precious blood, his cross work. Thank thee that he died an atoning death. He took our sins and onto his own body, unto the tree, that we being dead unto sin should live unto righteousness. By his stripes we are healed. We thank thee for the one who is the Lord of the harvest, who died for the harvest of souls that are being gathered in day by day throughout the nations of this world. Men and women being added into the Redeemer's kingdom and into the kingdom of glory and into the kingdom of grace. Lord, we pray that this night might be no different than this house. This might be a saving shop, as it were, within a yard of hell. We pray, O God, that sinners will become consciously aware that God is in this house. God is speaking. God is convicting. And God is drawing men and women unto himself. Lord, do it for Christ's sake, we pray. We recognize that this is the answer for our nation. The gospel. Oh God, the gospel in lies. Taking hold and possession of sinners. And Lord, doing that work that only God can do. And so we leave the entire meeting with thee. Bless thy servants as they come to sing. And bless thy servant as he ministers in the word. Give him special help and liberty, we pray. And grant, dear Father, O God, this night to be set apart by thee as a night that sinners come to faith in Jesus Christ. And so answer prayer, glorify thy Son, and help us as we continue to worship thee. Send the Holy Ghost, amen. We pray, for we offer these our petitions in and through our blessed Savior's name. Amen and amen. Let's turn again to our hymn book. We're singing this time 735, hymn number 735. Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother, in the morning bright and fair? Good harvest hymn. We don't get singing these too often, and so let's sing it out really well. 735, you'll find it on the page 470. Well, that's good singing. We're glad to have our brother and sister, Alistair and Sharon Brown, with us. They are members here, and they're going to come and bring their two messages in song just at this time. Thank you.
Sinner, while God treat thee, and warning with language of mercy doth blend. Attend to his voice, lest in judgment he meet thee. The harvest is passing, the summer will end. Oh, oft of thy danger and guilt he hath told thee, how oft still a message of mercy doth send. Haste, haste, while he waits in his arms to enfold thee. Harvest is passing, the summer will end.
Despised and rejected, at length he may leave thee. What anguish and horror thy bosom will rend. Then haste thee, O sinner, while he will receive thee. The harvest is passing, the summer will end. Ere long, and Jehovah will come in his power, our God will arise with his foes to contend. Haste, haste thee, O sinner, prepare for that hour. The harvest is passing, the summer will end. The Savior will call thee in judgment before him. Oh, let all thy sins go and make him thy friend. Now yield in thy heart and make haste to adore him. Thy harvest is passing, thy summer will end.
We appreciate Alistair and Sharon's ministry here in the meeting and the words that they've been singing. The harvest is past. The summer is ended, and yet we are still not saved. Is that your condition? I pray that tonight that condition will change and that you'll come to saving and saving faith to Jesus Christ, who when he saw us dying in sin and sorrow's night on wings of mercy flying, came down with life and light. That's what Christ did. And may you fly to him, and may you be saved even from your sin this evening. We welcome you in our Saviour's name to our Monday night harvest meeting. Great to have so many gathered, friends, family, strangers, people that I'm not just too aware of, but we're glad to see you, and you're very, very welcome. We trust you know that, and you feel it within the house of God. Now, after this meeting has concluded, there is tea for everyone. And I just want to say that tonight you're being the guinea pigs. Now, not with respect to what you're going to eat, so don't be worried about that there. We're not going to poison anyone, hopefully not. But we do have presbytery with us in the will of God on Friday night, so we're going to try and do the tea in a different way. Self-service this evening, and so little room here behind this wall, just beyond the curtains here, to your left-hand side, my right-hand side, and all you have to do is pick what you want, okay, and then come out. There'll be tea served here, and hopefully it all runs smoothly. If it doesn't, well, we're in panic stations for Friday night. We'll have to go back to the drawing board. But we're trusting that this will all work out well. So don't be going home. There is enough food for you to go a couple of times. You can do it a couple of circuits. If you finish one plate, you can go again and go again until all of the food. So please, please stay and just be a little patient with us as we attempt this even this evening. For those people who brought flowers and fruit and other items, please take those with you tonight. Anything that is left, I'll not be at Ballymena Market selling them, but it'll be going out to our seniors and to those shut-ins, the elderly within the congregation. So if you don't take it, it's going somewhere else. So please, if you've brought flowers, you want to maybe give them to someone else, please take that with you after the meeting has ended. Thank you for coming. Those are all by way of announcements. We're not extending the announcements this evening, but please stay for tea. And I trust that you'll enjoy the fellowship even around the cup of tea. Now, we're having an offering this evening, and we're turning to the hymn 233. It is our building fund, for our building fund, so it's 233. Once again, the gospel message. From the Saviour, you have heard. Will you hear the invitation? Will you turn and seek the Lord? And we'll sing it in this way, once again, the gospel message from the Saviour, you will hear. So that's what we'll say, you will hear. Will you heed the invitation? Will you turn and seek the Lord? We'll remain seated while the offering is brought in, please. Glad to have our brother, the Reverend Thomas Laverty, with us, a good friend, and he's going to come now and bring the word that God has placed upon his heart for this Gospel Monday night service. Thank you.
Let's turn the word of God tonight, please, to Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel and to the 12th chapter. Great joy to be here. Let me thank your minister, the Reverend Stuart, very much indeed. For his very gracious words of welcome to this service. It's nice to be in Portland, Owen, and I trust that as we meet together tonight around the Word of God on this final meeting of the harvest weekend, I trust that the Lord will draw near and close us in for a season. And that as the Word of God is preached in these moments, even before the benediction, all too soon this meeting is going to go into eternity. And it is our prayer that even as this book is open now and the Word is brought, that God will speak. The harvest reminds us all that there is a harvest. There's a harvest in the natural realm, and it's sure. And there's a harvest in the spiritual realm. All things end. People here tonight, harvest service, good to see you. Glad you're here. Neither you nor I know this can be our last harvest meeting. Let's turn to the book of God. Luke chapter 12, Luke's Gospel chapter 12. Reading together from verse number 13. Luke's Gospel chapter 12, reading together from verse number 13. Let us hear the word of God. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth of naught in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Amen. We'll end our reading there. And we know that God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart. Let's unite our hearts together, please, in a moment's prayer. And fully aware, every believer, of our need of God in this meeting. And therefore you pray that the Lord will come and visit us here. We thank God for all that has taken place already. Songs of praise, prayer offered. But here we come to the book of God. And you pray that God will speak. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us all pray. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the holy and blessed name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and by the merits of his blood, we approach again the throne of grace and of mercy. And we thank thee for the Son of God that loved sinners and gave himself for them. We thank thee for his blood that cleanses from all sin. We thank thee for his blood by which even now we approach thine eternal throne. We come to thee at this juncture in the meeting. We bow down before thee. We worship thee as our God. In the name of Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, we come as the mortal before the immortal. We come as the foolish before the infinitely wise. We come as creatures of time before the God of eternity. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received its frame, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. We give ourselves into thy hands, and the entirety of this meeting that remains. We pray that the Spirit of God will superintend the gathering. We pray that the atmosphere will be purged in the blood of Christ. Every power of darkness bound. And I confess before heaven and this gathered congregation my complete inadequacy to deal with what is before me now in this meeting. Empty me now of self and sin. Forgive my sins, for they are many. Wash me in the Redeemer's blood. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Grant the divine anointing. Grant that holy baptism. The baptism that the Lord gives to preach. And the baptism that the Lord gives to hear with profit. Grant it now. Hear our prayers. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. And in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. The narrative before us In Luke chapter 12, it's tragic. The narrative is revealing. The narrative is teaching of the highest form. The great prophet of our faith, Jesus Christ, is the teacher. He teaches like no one ever taught. He teaches and all must listen. He preaches like nobody ever preached, and all must listen. He preached with a sinless heart. He preached with a compassionate soul. He preached in time, and yet he was eternal and had no beginning of days. In this narrative, he tells us of an individual who didn't go to heaven, won't ever be in heaven, but went away to everlasting punishment. He was a man who lost his soul. Luke is the evangelist chosen by God to show us what God, Christ taught on this occasion. And the Lord Jesus tells us in these verses that we have read, with all his omniscience and all his knowledge of the night that happened, he tells us of the unsaved's final moments on this side of eternity. Look here, the writer, led by the Holy Ghost, so controlled to write every minute detail of the glimpse that Luke chapter 12 gives us into the invisible world of the invisible soul departing, the soul that was lost. And therefore, for the time that remains tonight, I want to look at this narrative. I want to look at this individual. I want to look at the Christ that speaks. And I want to preach a message on a soul that was lost at the end of harvest. A soul that was lost at the end of the harvest. The first thing I want to show you is the diligence in view in this narrative. And then there is diligence in view. It would seem in Luke chapter 12, it would seem to be clear that this particular farmer, and that's what he was, had been very successful with his crop. The ground had been got ready and obviously done well. The seed had been sown, weather favorable. The result, a great harvest. I just simply glean that from verse number 16. Jesus said, the ground of a certain man brought forth plentifully. God had been gracious to him. God has spared him to this moment. Here's an individual, he could graft, he could toil, he could work. Do we see him up early? Weather suitable, he'd be in the fields at work. And he'd had a good harvest. He'd had a good crop that year. And verse 17 tells us, he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Now that is diligence. He'd had a good year. He'd worked hard. But he looks at the crop, and he said, what shall I do? I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he thinks ahead. He said, this is what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns. I'll build greater barns. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And there's diligence. But then, dear people, comes a delusion. Because the diligence was fine. But the delusion is seen in verse 19 as our holy Lord tells us what he said. And he said, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now do you notice there's a want to take your time through this. He's thought about the things of time. His mind goes to eternity. It's not that he doesn't understand there's an eternity coming. He does understand it. But he has this delusion. He says to his soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He wasn't wrong to build new barns. But the delusion comes when he begins to deal with his soul. Now please notice this, dear people. He knew he had a soul. He knows he has a soul. He's actually even thinking about the salvation of it and the saving of that soul. But the delusion comes in that he has decided he has gone to leave the salvation of his soul for years to come. And there's the great delusion, because he believes his future is in his own hands. He believes he has many days ahead. And dear people, we're going to see, and the Lord warns so clearly, that thinking where an individual, man or woman, or young person decides, you know what, I know I've got a soul. You know what, I believe all that that preacher says is right about heaven and hell. You know what, I believe I need to be forgiven. You know what, I want to be in heaven. But Christ telling us you could know all that and think all that and believe all that and want all that and go to hell. Because what our Lord is showing us here in this delusion is this. You and that individual before us isn't guaranteed another hour, never mind a future. It's a delusion. He says to his soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Many years he's boasting on. I'll sort this out at a later date. I'll sort the salvation of my soul out at a later date. There's diligence. He's a hard worker. There's a delusion. He begins to decide, I'll put this subject of the saving of my soul off to a different occasion. There's also a declaration in view. Look at verse number 20. But God said unto him. See the way the narrative takes a turn? Verse number 19, it's the man speaking. Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But verse 20, it takes a turn. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Our Lord is teaching here that after all the foolish boasting, on this occasion in view, that death is only and death is always by divine appointment. Death, dear people, is not by human circumstances. Death is planned by God. Death, your death, is not planned to suit your lifestyle. Your death is planned by God. Here's a man who knows about death. He knows he has a soul needs to be saved. He has decided he's going to get it saved at a later date. But Christ teaches here in verse 22, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. The word for night there, it's actually referring to a specific moment. A specific moment. Here's an individual. Every intention of being in heaven. And he loses his soul. What a delusion. Believing he had all the time in the world to get right with God, believing that'll do for another day. And the Lord says, thou fool, you don't have another day. You're in the final moments of your life. Now, dear people, I don't even believe in scaremongering from a pulpit. But this Bible gives me warrant to say what I'm about to say. I don't know, and you don't know, who in this meeting is in the closing moments of their life. I don't know of anybody else, but I certainly don't know if anybody's not. Because life's like a vapor, and death is by divine appointment. And this narrative teaches, here's a man has had a good harvest, it's harvest season. The crops are in. He knows all that he has heard about the soul and that salvation is right. What's more, he has every intention of being saved someday. But what a mistake. I'll put it off. I'll do it at a later date. There's diligence. There's a delusion. There's a divine declaration. But God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee." Those words, "but God," they speak of divine intervention. They speak of a moment set that night that man was going to leave this scene of time. Let me just pause a moment here. Could I be speaking to some in this meeting? And if you were talking to a preacher and you were being honest, you would say, 100%, I don't want to lose my soul. I never met anybody that wanted to lose their soul. I heard people that spoke bravado don't care, they do care. You would say to me, or you would say to somebody else, I don't want to lose my soul. I want to be in heaven at the end of the day. I don't want to perish, preacher. I believe the Bible. I believe the blood of Christ would wash all my sin away. Dear people, hell is full of people who knew the blood of Christ would wash their sin away. Because Christ here shows us a delusion that this man decided, I'll put it off to another day. And the Lord saying to him, this night shall your soul be required. Dear unsaved, you're not ready. You're not ready. You've never been forgiven. You've never been washed in the blood of Christ. You've never been saved. And here you are, and you sit in this meeting, and we're so glad to see you. But my dear friend, the Lord is speaking to you tonight. You have been guilty of playing with something that is of more value than the whole world, your soul. You have played God with it. You have put yourself in the place of God, and you have said, no, I'll do it at a later date. My friend, that's God's realm. You and I have no later date to boast of, for we don't know. There's diligence, there's a delusion, there's a declaration, there's also darkness. But God said unto him, verse 20, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. The word for night there is the same word as used over in John 13. Speaking of Judas, as he left the upper room and he went out to betray the innocent blood. And John's gospel tells us he went out and it was night. And dear people, there's far more in view there in John's gospel that it was a time of day. It's speaking about the darkness of the moment, the darkness of the deed, as one went out into a situation to betray the innocent blood. But he went out into eternity the same night. And the same word is used here when Christ said of this man, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And I believe, dear people, that the Lord is drawing attention to the fact that the same night he boasted of years ahead, in fact, the same night he thought about having his soul saved, he lost it. The very same night. That's what happened to him. Now I don't know what brought it into his mind. Do I see him in my mind's eye talking to an old mother in Israel and saying to him, what about your soul? Do you see him walking past the synagogue and remembering those days as a wee boy, hearing of his need of a redeemer? Do you hear him talking to a friend and say the friend saying to him and praying for you? I don't know, but something causes this individual that our Lord tells us about here. Something causes him to think about his soul, to think about having it saved, and to think about its need of being saved. And he thinks about it and he does all that. And the very night he thinks all that, he loses it. He loses it. He made a decision that within ours sent them to everlasting hell. The same night. I tell you, my friend, that is solemn. For a man who's worked hard, labored, thought the thing through, I'm going to build new barns. But a man who made an awful mistake with his soul. And in the very night that he thought of having his soul saved, he lost it. He lost it. And the Lord is saying to you tonight, when you think about that, is it any wonder the holy book of God says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. There's a darkness here. There's also here a demonic darkness. There's a demonic darkness. The Lord doesn't tell us what night, time of the night he passed away. But the Bible does tell us that there was a gathering around this individual. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Look at verse 20 again with me. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. The original reads, this night thy soul they require. That's how it reads. This night thy soul they require. And the Bible doesn't tell us any more than that. It just tells us enough. Remember what I said at the very beginning in this narrative. Our holy Lord, the only one that could ever preach this message, the only one that knew this, the only one that could ever show this, he lifts the lid on the dying sinner's final moments, and he shows the gathering of devils around the individual. He shows us into the invisible world, just a little glimpse. And he shows us devils come and take that unsaved soul to the everlasting ruins. Oh, my dear friend, tonight, told you at the beginning the message was a soul lost at the harvest. At the harvest, devils came and took him away. At the harvest, they came to an individual that had an intention later on in his life to get right with God and to be in that place the Bible calls heaven. But I say to you, oh, the awful darkness of one that has worked and toiled and labored, and I know I stand in Portland, Owen. It's a farming community, it's a hard working community. People work hard, it's all very commendable. But dear people, what about your soul? What about that soul that our Lord told you is of more value than the whole earth? This night thy soul they require. They require the gathering around the deathbed. The Bible doesn't tell us any more concerning a funeral. Christ just summed it up by saying he wasn't rich toward God. Oh, the awful darkness of a soul departing without Christ. Without a Savior. Unsaved. You wonder why we preach. We preach because this is reality. Nobody lives forever on earth. Everybody goes into God's eternity. You wonder why churches meet to pray. Because we understand that you're going to die someday. You wonder why people go into open airs in villages. Because they stand as dying men before dying people. You wonder why churches knock your door and put a tract through it because you're dying. You're dying. And oh, the awfulness of that moment. And I'm talking about the moment. The actual moment of the departing lost soul. and devils gather and take away the soul. There's diligence, the man's a worker. There's a delusion, there's a divine declaration, there's darkness, there's also direction given. Because in verse 22, our Lord says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body's more than raiment." Therefore, see the word, the Lord's saying, in light of what I've told you, the life's more than meat, the body's more than raiment. The Lord is saying, it's time to start considering your soul. It's time to stop living as if this world is all that matters. It's time to realize that you and I are going to meet God. The harvest reminds us of that, dear people. There's the cutting down. It's time to think about where you're going to be in God's eternity. Understand that, dear people. In 10,000 years from now, every one of us will be somewhere, conscious. I think of the joy that a newborn brings into a home, brings into a family, brings great joy to the home, a little baby. But everybody understands something. Everyone that's born into this world is alive forevermore. They will never go out of existence. Everyone on. They'll change their abode someday. Job said, "This is our short home. Then there's a long home. This one we leave. The next one we don't get out of." The question is this: where will you be? Where will you be in your long home? Our Lord says of this man, he wasn't rich toward God. He wasn't rich toward God. He'd never been forgiven. And I say to you, dear people, there are people in this meeting tonight, and you're not rich toward God. You say, "Preacher, what does that mean, not rich toward God?" Let me tell you what the Apostle Paul wrote to those people that lived in that ancient city of Ephesus. He said this to them, "In whom," speaking of Christ, "we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." The riches that Christ is talking about and telling us that this man died without him, they were all purchased at the cross. Let me give you some of them. And I tell you this, the earth can't give you them. Pardon. Forgiveness. Peace with God. Justification. Washed in the blood of Christ. Brought into union with Christ, assurance of God's love, indwelling spirit, the soul safe for eternity, the Lord assuring you, "I'll never leave you," the Lord assuring you, "Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ," the Lord assuring you, "When death comes, it's heaven." Those are only a fraction of the riches that are found in Jesus Christ. But what Christ is telling us tonight is this, dear people: this man died without any of them. He had never been forgiven. He had never been pardoned. Let me put it to you this, dear people, in Portland, Oregon. If you die without Jesus Christ, God will never forgive you for what you've done. You take a scar. Mentioned him earlier. There's never going to be a moment in millions and billions forever in God's eternity that God will forgive that man for his sin. But the same is applied to this man tonight.
And the same's applied to all that die without Christ, because forgiveness happens on this side of eternity, or it doesn't happen. God's forgiveness is received by faith in Christ in time, or it's never received. We don't believe, dear people, because the Bible doesn't teach it. That's why we don't believe it, that any sin is ever dealt with after death. It's not. The confines of God's eternity are but two places: heaven with Christ, hell without him. And here's a man that died, and Christ says he wasn't rich toward God. Therefore, what's the divine direction from the Lord tonight to you? You need Christ. I've told you here there was a delusion in this text. There was darkness in this narrative. There was a declaration in this narrative: let me, as I close, take you to another day when there was a great delusion. Let me take you to a day outside a city wall where there's three crosses, and upon that middle tree the Christ of glory dies. And the delusion was this, and there was a delusion. We'll get rid of them. Scribes and Pharisees thought, we've got rid of them. They never get rid of Christ, dear people. Christ there was putting away sin by his own sacrifice. There was darkness that day, the darkness of devils, as all the legions of hell attacked our Lord, and they were repelled, defeated. And there was a divine declaration that day: it is finished. The work is done. Redemption's accomplished. All that come to me will be pardoned, forgiven, saved, and go immediately to heaven at death, because the work is done. Are you rich toward God tonight? And you now understand what I mean. Have you ever been pardoned for your sin? Have you ever been forgiven? As we speak here tonight, October 2019, Harvest Service, heaven is populated by sinners that were pardoned. Sinners forgiven. Sinners washed in the blood of Christ. Remember one night in Liverpool? It's a Saturday night before an evening, or before the Sabbath come on. Sometimes I take a walk down around some of the local cemeteries. And it was down in Fasakerley, an area of Liverpool. And it was a summer's evening, and I was walking around the old cemetery there. I came upon a headstone of a young man that died in Liverpool at the beginning of the 1900s. And it said in his headstone, cut down so pitiless by the merciless storm, so silent in death was his beautiful form. We miss him, but yet there is hope in our breast, because he was forgiven and now lives with the blessed. Is that you? Death comes for you, my friend. Will people be able to say it's okay? He was forgiven. He was in Christ. He was saved by Christ. I say to you tonight, come to him. Spirit and the bride say, come. Christ himself says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And he's not speaking about physical rest. He's speaking, because he goes on to speak about the rest for the soul. But you've got to come. And you've got to come immediately. Because not to come immediately is to make the same mistake as this man did. Oh, my friend, the meeting's almost over. There was diligence. As far as that goes, he was commendable. There was an awful delusion. He boasted in another day. And in those moments that he did it, he wasn't to know. And I grant that, he wasn't to know. But he was thinking it through in the final moments of his life on earth. And this passage allows me to apply it like this. What if this is it tonight, folks? What if this is it? I tell you what, I'll even start with myself. What if it's it for this preacher? It's okay. I'm in Christ. That's all I'm depending on. The blood, the righteousness, the life and death of another, and that's enough. So I've answered it. What about you? Wherever you sit in this meeting, if this is it tonight, and you can't read this narrative and not know it could be, what if this is it? Christ tells you it's time to think about your soul. It's time to get ready to die. It's time to get ready. Will you come to Christ tonight? In these final moments of a harvest service. On these final moments of a harvest weekend. That are never coming again. God's near. And every one of you that are unsaved will consciously make a decision tonight, and heaven will record it. Because heaven recorded this man's. And you'll say one of two things. I'm coming, and I pray to God you do, because if you come and save, pardon, peace, forgiveness, it's yours in a moment. Or you'll say, no, preacher, I'm not. Heaven will record the declaration you make. In your heart right now, let me just say a couple of things here. There may be a thought, you couldn't keep it. You couldn't keep it. Christ will keep you. Let's just silence the enemy right now. Christ will keep you. You need to think it through more. Now is the accepted time. What's your friends going to say? I don't know. But what are they going to say if you lose your soul? My friend, don't allow thoughts in your mind. Because let me put it like this right now. Every thought in your mind at this moment that is telling you, whatever that thought is, do not come to Christ right this moment. Let me nail it. Is right from Lucifer. That's where it came from. Because Christ says, now. Repent. Believe the gospel. Come and be saved. Come and be pardoned. I look across this meeting tonight and I can see people and I remember when they came to Christ. My friend, unsaved, you couldn't be in a better place. We know where you are. We have sat there. We've known the battle in the soul. But we found that when we came to Christ, he was true to his word. Pardons, forgives, loves, keeps, till the river rolls its waters at your feet. And then he'll bear you safely over, made by grace, for glory made. A soul that was lost at the end of the harvest. I pray to God, not anybody here, come to Christ. He'll save you of his work for it. Seek him now. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer, please. And just while all the heads are bowed and the Lord's people are praying, my dear friend, it's time to come. Even in the quietness of that pew you're sitting in, you lift your heart to heaven and you say, Lord, save me. I've done with this sin. I'm turning from it. Save me now. These riches that I've heard of, purchased by the blood, I want them and I want them now. Ah, my friend, come. If you'd like to speak, the Reverend Stewart, after this meeting is over, then you make that need known. But even right now, you come to Christ. Seek him with all your heart. Lord, take your word. Apply it now. Give deciding grace, even in these moments. Let the blood prevail. Silence the enemy as he seeks to hinder dear souls coming. Bring them right through. Take away fears in these moments. Take away concerns about what it will mean. Thank you, Lord, the one we can trust for our soul, we can trust for everything. Hear prayer now. Bless in the closing moments of the meeting. Our closing praise in Jesus' name. Amen.